Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can post jobs for free at ziprecruiter.com/ghost. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email me your audio file. You send it into Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories and those experiences over to us. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine eclipse day, the day that we're recording this?
I'm still kind of let down. How about you?
Yeah, I knew that we were not in the path of totality, but we were so close to the path of totality.
That I thought it'd be darker.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get a little bit better of a show than we got.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess, you know, it's one of those things where you're unaware of just how different the sun is, you know, depending on where you're at in the country and in the world. I would just think that my thought, again, it was, we were that close to the path. We're going to get pretty dark, but no, not really.
No.
We did get to look at it through the glasses that somebody had that was around there, which was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Did you notice the leaves or the shadows of the leaves on the ground?
No.
You didn't?
What about it?
That showed crescents.
Oh.
Everywhere with the way that the light shone through the trees, and you only get that during an eclipse, is you can actually see all the shadow that the leaves are making were all crescents, depending on, you know, and how big of a crescent was depending on where the eclipse was.
I did not notice that.
It's kind of a neat little thing.
That is.
A little added thing. And I wasn't sure if that was true or not until after the eclipse, and I was reading online and people are like, yep, that's true. Because I was seeing it myself with some of the trees and bushes that we were by, but I'm like, I'm not sure if that's how it always is.
Is that how it works? Because we just, you know. Like, I was just thinking, we just discovered we have an apple tree today.
Yeah, we had a lot of outdoor nature discovery today.
We did.
And the apple tree happens to look like a very weird shrub.
And it has one apple on it.
Yeah, just one apple. And it almost looks like there's like 30, it's like 30 large sticks coming out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering, is that, I mean, how is this thing going to survive? Do I have to chop all the sticks down except for the one that's living, or just kind of let it go and see what happens?
I don't know. I'm not planning on using it for substance to eat, so let's just leave it as is.
For fruit?
No.
Make pies out of
it? It's right by the trash can. I'm not going to go get the trash can apple.
The trash can apple bush.
Uh-huh.
It's somehow been some sort of weird transformed species of plant that we now have in the front yard. It's kind of weird. Interesting stuff. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I love your show. I discovered you guys a couple of months ago, and I've been working my way through your older episodes, and I signed up to be an EPP, and I just really enjoy what you guys have done here, and the outlet you've provided for people who have experiences or who are just really fascinated with the paranormal. I've been thinking about some odd things that have happened over the years in my life. I've never seen a ghost or anything that traumatic, but weird things here and there. In fact, I'm thinking about sending a couple of precognitive type dreams to your other podcast. But in thinking about that, I remember one particular instance involving my son that has always kind of creeped me out and fascinated me. Back in 2012, when my son was about 3 years old, he was completely obsessed with all things related to trains, Thomas shows and movies and books and all the characters, and also seeing real live trains. We live near an old mill town on the East Coast that trains pass through fairly regularly. There's a bridge that goes over the main road as you come into or out of the little town. And there's a old B&O station that is now a museum, and it has all kinds of old stuff from, I think, back to like the Civil War. And this little town, we drive through there pretty much on a daily basis, and it's had its share of disasters, fires and floods. In fact, there was a huge flood last year that was all over the news. And in 2012, there was a disaster involving a train. So one day we're driving through the town, and it was a pretty typical evening. It was probably about 6 o'clock. I'd picked my son up from my in-laws and we were heading home. So we were driving out of the little town and under the bridge where the trains would cross. And there was no train there that night. But my son was back in his car seat in the back of the car playing, and all of a sudden he shouts out randomly as we cross under the bridge, "Mommy, the bridge is going to break and the train is going to fall off and crash." So I didn't really think anything of it. We were passing a train bridge and he was playing with his characters and it was fairly normal for him. Fast forward to the next morning, we woke up to the news that a little after midnight, there was a pretty massive train derailment right on that bridge. It was a coal train, and there were pictures all over the news of it tipped over and coal spilled everywhere. And tragically, two teenage girls actually lost their lives. They'd been hanging out up on the bridge as the train came through. So we're watching this news, and all of a sudden it kind of dawned on me what my son had said as we were driving through. The bridge is going to break and the train is going to crash. And it was just so kind of bizarre. And I've told this story to other people, and everyone's always just kind of shocked by it. It could always be a coincidence, but it was just so specific. They came out with a report a couple years later that it was a piece of rail. I don't remember if it was on the bridge or near it that snapped and caused the train to go off the track. So anyway, he's never done anything like that since that I know of, but it always creeped us out a little bit whenever he said anything about anything related to travel after that. So that's my story. I hope you can use it on the show. And thanks again for everything that you do.
I think I would heed his warning from that point forward, no matter what. You know?
No matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah. You just don't want to take the chance.
No. Not knowing that day he predicted a train derailment that happened.
It's one of those, too, where if he ever started to cry wolf, essentially, that would get really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
If it one day's, I just don't want to do this, I'm going to say something bad's going to happen, you know. But then the next time it's like, no, really, I'm not saying it. This really, it's, you know.
Yeah.
He could use that to his advantage, you know. But it have to be really worth it, mm-hmm, to pull that one. Thanks for sharing the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? It's not an easy world out there to find a qualified candidate for a position. If you are in that position of hiring, you got to check out ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job to ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within on the site within the first day, day one. No juggling emails, calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. Right now, you guys can post to ZipRecruiter for free. That's all you have to do is just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. One more time, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you so much for listening to my story and for telling all a bunch of other people's stories so that I can listen to those as well. I really enjoy your show. You guys always make me laugh and help me relax when I'm working too many hours at work. I have a story to share. I wrote it down, actually, but then I thought instead of sending it in, I would just record myself reading it, since when I listen to other people's stories, I love it when I can hear their voice telling the story. Not that I don't love your voice, Tony, but I think it's fun to hear how they feel about it. So here goes. I will read it off for you guys. My story takes place when I was 11 years old and living in Guildford, England. My family was living in a mock Tudor house that must have been built in the 50s or 60s. The house was large and well taken care of. As a child, I was very sensitive to the energy, not only of people, but of buildings and locations. My mother, very rightly, took us to visit all of the many historic sites, castles, and monuments that are all over the UK. But she would always tell me not to be silly when I didn't want to go down into the dungeons and places where a lot of people had been killed or tortured. Often, I would have to follow the rest of the family, afraid of being lost from the group, into these places, holding in my tears and panic, trying not to feel all the residual suffering and anger. She is not at all sensitive and has since apologized, since I am now older and more articulate and could tell her how I was feeling. I still like to give her a hard time and tell her that she scarred me for life, but it's all in good fun. The house we lived in felt full of memories to me, but not anything particularly negative. We had only lived there for about a month and a half. My sister and I shared the master ensuite bedroom in the front of the house. My sister was 7 at the time, and as I said, I was 11. I slept on the bottom of our 2 bunk beds. I have ADD and have never found it easy to fall asleep, especially in that room. The light at night in that room was almost non-existent. It was very, very dark and had almost a heavy energy. I remember one night lying in bed looking at the crack of light showing from my parents' room as they got ready for bed, shining under my door. I dreaded the moment they would turn it off and I would be left listening to the quiet, settling noises of the house. The light did go off and I just lay there staring at the door. I must have drifted off to sleep, but I was woken by this strong feeling of something else awake in the room with me. I could hear my sister breathing, but it wasn't her sleeping presence I could feel. I didn't want to open my eyes, afraid of what I would see, but I couldn't just keep them closed and not know what was in the room with me. Finally, I could not stand not knowing anymore, so I opened my eyes and looked at the place I could feel someone standing. There was a lady. She was shadowy, but I could still see her in the dark. More than even seeing the details, that she was wearing a bathrobe and was clasping and unclasping her hands in front of her, I could feel her worry and sadness. She was looking at something that I couldn't see, focusing all her grief and worry on that one thing. She stood there, just filling the space around her with her anxiety and despair. I was too scared to do anything. I knew she should not be there, but I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get out of my room, but I knew I didn't want to go toward her, and she was between me and the door. She stayed there for a long time, and then slowly she turned to go, and before she reached the door, she disappeared. My heart was pounding, and I didn't sleep that night until it started to get light out at about 5 in the morning. A few nights later, she came back. Almost exactly the same thing happened. I was asleep, and her sadness would wake me. I would watch her, not moving, until she left. My sister would always kept sleeping right through this, and I knew I couldn't tell anyone. My mother didn't take lying lightly, and I knew she would think I was crazy or making it up. I had quite the reputation for always telling the truth in my family at this time, and I hated to throw that away since that meant I could get away with lies every once in a while. Well-calculated lies. Anyway, this kept happening for weeks, and it was always the same way. Every few nights, I would be woken by this lady. I brought a desk lamp into my room, and I would leave it on at night. And when I did that, I couldn't see her anymore, but I could still feel her sadness and worry come into my room. My fear of her never went away. I thought of trying to talk to her, but when I would try, I couldn't even whisper. I was always too full of my own fear and the great sorrow that she brought with her. I finally decided that I couldn't keep feeling this afraid all the time, so every night I would face the wall, and if I did wake up and feel her, I would just go back to sleep. Eventually, I either learned to sleep through it or she stopped coming because she never woke me at night again. I would sometimes feel her if I'd come back to my room after it had been empty for a long time, if we'd been doing things in the other parts of the house. As I came through my door, a sort of wave of worry and despair would sort of wash over me. Until I sort of could fill the space with my own presence again. So that's my story. I've got some other ones to share at some point, but right now, that's it. And thank you so much for listening. And I definitely hope that the bunk bed bell was used, because I'll be disappointed if it wasn't. So thanks guys so much. I really love the show. And keep being awesome. Bye.
I think she was a residual haunting. And for whatever reason, sometimes it seems like residual hauntings, they come back for a little while and do the same thing over and over for a few nights, and then they stop and they go away.
With a residual haunting, a lot of times it's brought up where people almost say it's not conscious or anything mm-hmm. like that. So with that being said, if it's residual, can it have the sadness and the emotion and the anxiety that she was saying that she was feeling off of it? Or was that more so her kind of, you know, picking this up in her own way, or is it emanating off of the actual ghost, if it's residual?
I think the residual was coming from the ghost, and I think it was just the ghost replaying this frightful mm-hmm. whatever episode over and over.
Yeah,
because it said she was looking at something that the caller could not see.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of feel like she was just replaying the same nervous episode over and over until, for whatever reason, it stopped happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it really didn't interact with her. She just woke up knowing this was going on.
Just there.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy is coming off of it as it replays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always wondered and thought about the residual stuff of, is it just like a, you know, just like a movie screen? You know, you're just watching the movie, that the movie itself does not have any, you know, emotions attached to it, versus a play, where there's humans up there on stage and they are interacting and they're actually having emotions as they're doing this. That's what I was kind of getting at.
I think it's the difference between like a play and a melodrama. The participant watching either participates or not.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think that's more the difference.
Okay. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, my name's CJ from Halifax, Nova Scotia. currently sitting here watching the Conjuring 2 and just kind of sparked, you know, real life ghost stories. I gotta listen to you guys all the time, and I just recently listened to a podcast today, and it's a big topic that I hear you bring up all the time, Tony, about teleportation and how, you know, items just end up in one room for the next. Like, how do they do it? And this guy was saying today that from what he was seeing, it was like it was moving so fast that his eyes could barely, you know, keep up with it. So, you know, my theory of all of it is a type of teleportation or time travel. Like, if I'm upstairs and I left my coffee cup in the living room, my bedroom upstairs, and then the time it takes me from walk to that bedroom to downstairs to my, like, my lounge room and that coffee cup's there, if the spirit is moving so quickly, if it takes me, you know, 10 seconds to get down the stairs, it takes that spirit too. That is, you know, it's moving so fast, it is a type of teleportation or time travel. So I just wanted to give you, you know, your credence and your due diligence on that, because, like, you are onto something there. It is a form of time travel. So, I don't know, you let me know what you think about that, but this is my ghost story. So, it's the only one I have. About 3-4 years ago, yeah, 24 now, no, maybe 6 years ago now, I was hanging out with this friend of mine. He wasn't really his best friend, he was like a friend through a friend, but we ended up hanging out, and so, you want to come crash up in my place? Well, hang on to my place. He lived about an hour out of the city, and his cousin was with us. So, you know, I was like, yeah, all right, cool. And his mom came and picked us up. So his mom was driving us out there, and the whole drive out there, he's saying, my house is haunted, my house is haunted. I'm like, get out of here. And his mom's like, no, like, it's haunted. And I'm like, you really managed to get your mom in on this? Like, good job. Like, I'm a skeptic. Like, I wasn't believing any of it. So we get there. We pull up to the driveway. Did you see that? The blinds is open. Like, I honestly wasn't looking at all. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So we go inside, right? And we're just chilling out. We smoked a little. And we had a few drinks. I think, like, 2 or 3 beers. Like, we're only 17. We got whatever we could scrounge, right? And, you know, everything's fine. He's telling me stories about, like, oh, I had a buddy over here. He slept on the couch out there. And he has, like, you go down to the basement to his left. It's a big open, like, door. Like, he has no door to his room. It's like a basement. And, like, the other side of the section is his room. And then on the outside, there's, like, a main area where you might have a TV or something. It's just a couch. And there's a closet behind the couch. And apparently, the last person that had slept on that couch had, you know, an experience where somebody had a hand had come and touched them. And it's about, you know, 12 o'clock at night, and I notice his cousin comes up onto his bed. I mean, these are two growing ass men. I mean, we're 17, but, like, they're growing, and they're just, he cuddles up next to him, and they both just fall asleep, just spooning each other. And it's just like, really? Like, okay. Like, I'm not going to be the one that goes sleeps on the couch if your cousin is so scary he's going to sleep with you. And they just, I was watching the movie, and I look over, and it's probably like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're just gone, knocked out, sleeping. And all of a sudden, I hear the cabinets upstairs in this guy's kitchen just slamming open and slamming open and slamming. Not just like one cabinet, but like all of them. And, like, it just so sporadic, just open and close, boom, 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 boom. And, like, it didn't stop. And I sat there and listened for maybe, like, 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, I think maybe after, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't even know how long it was, honestly, it stopped. And I was like, okay, I'm not going up there to check that. I'm going to do the most reasonable thing a person in this scenario should do. I'm as curious as some of your listeners. I shut my eyes and I forced myself to sleep with the TV on. The movie wasn't even playing. I just left the TV on. So he told me all these fucking freaky stories about this place. So, like, as soon as I heard that, it was, there's no way I was going up there to investigate that. It wasn't happening. So anyway, I woke up the next morning and we go upstairs, and I felt so sick when I woke up. like a weight, like the air was so heavy in that place. It did not feel good. I just felt ill. Like, I laid in those couches and feel good. And it's just like, it was just the whole atmosphere, the whole energy of the place just was bringing me down. And then he says, well, let's just go outside. We'll hang out outside. As soon as I get outside for maybe more than 2 or 3 minutes, I felt perfect again. Like, I felt great. All my energy came back. I didn't feel sick anymore. But we were outside for a while, and his mom ended up driving me home. And I'm telling you, just that whole way home, it was like, I haven't had any experiences since I left there. Nothing followed me, but like the energy was so thick and so strong that I did not feel right that whole day. It's so hard to explain. And just a side note on that story, when I was going up there, like, I didn't believe the stories that they were telling me, but his mom told me, she was upstairs talking on the phone to somebody about how I'm getting ready to move out of this place. And as she said, we're getting out of here, we're moving, their TV that's up on a stand flew off into the middle of the room, cracked, you know, smashed the whole nine. Their host, when they told me that, that TV was sitting on the front porch, cracked and just down, because they put it out there, because it was broken now. So they put it out there. And, yeah, I don't know. Let me know what y'all think about it. If you put my story on your podcast, it'd be awesome. All right. Bye.
Sounds like you got to the good part of the movie and he wanted to end the story.
God. Yeah, screaming in the background of a call. It kind of scared me because I forgot he was watching that movie for a minute.
Yeah. It's about as close as you're going to get. Isn't it?
Yeah.
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 That was kind of scary for a moment. Did you think there was something else going on for a second?
Well, we've had shit in the background like that, but sure. Then I remembered, oh, he's watching that movie.
Yeah. There you go. Kind of totally lost my train of thought on what I was going to say about his experiences.
I did too.
But certainly creepy where the doors are all slamming and things of that nature. I mean, yeah, certainly that's not, that's one of the more, you know, that gets to be extreme when you start having those things happening, mm-hmm. and very difficult to continue to put up with. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And for future note, the mute button works lovely when you're calling.
That movie has scared me. I haven't even seen it.
It did. It managed to scare you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Annie. I live in North Carolina. And I'm an EPP, and I'm so glad I am. When I used to listen to the show, I used to just love the show. But I'd always have this feeling like, oh, God, I should really become an EPP, support the show. And I thought, you know what? Money's tight, but, like, that little feeling of guilt just kind of got in the way of me fully enjoying the show. So I became an EPP, and it's awesome. Sometimes the stories are a little too spooky, and I have to stop in the middle, to be honest, but, not often, but, anyhow, I think it's important that, when, you know, we'll pretty much all go through a time when one of our loved ones is terminally ill. Sadly enough. And I think it's really important to spread the word that terminally ill people will see their loved ones who have passed on 80% of the time. Like, 80% of dying people have visits from the other side. And I think it's very comforting because, you know, we don't know how to die, and apparently people come over and help us, is how I look at it. So, but it's important that people hear that, because my friend Sally, she was in her 90s, and when she started seeing her late parents and her late brother, her doctor put her on antipsychotic medications, and That made me really sad. So in 2010, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and I moved in to take care of her, and eventually I got my brother to also move in and help, because it's a lot of work. And anyway, so one night, I was sleeping downstairs, and my mom had like a little 2-story house with a addition on the back of it. And so I was about as far from my mom's bedroom as I could get. And I'm a deep sleeper, but around, I don't know, 2 a.m, somebody woke me up. Some voice. And I instantly was wide awake and ran upstairs to check on my mother. I just knew it was about her. And my dog, I adopted him when he was 5, and he had been abused, and he was attached to my ankle at all times. Like, he was never more than 6 feet away from me. So his name was Happy. So Happy and I ran up the stairs and into my mother's bedroom, and my mom was on the floor, and she had woken up in the night and, you know, having to go to the bathroom, and forgot that she could no longer walk, and tried to get out of bed and just collapsed and was lying there alone. Except, let me just say, she was not alone, because that room was filled with spirits who were worried about her and getting a little emotional. Whew. So I woke up my brother, and we got my mom back into the bed, and I decided that I was going to sleep in there. And but it was freezing. And okay, it was Chicago in the summertime, and it was, I don't know, like, I'm trying not to use bad language. Let me just say, it was hot. And that's how my mom liked it, because, of course, you know, she was down to, like, 75 pounds or something. She was always cold. So, like, we weren't using any air conditioning or anything. So after we got her in bed, I was like, dang. And I went and got a sweater, and then I was trying to sleep with just some blankets. I went and got my Polar Tech sleeping bag, you know, and got in there. I mean, it should have been 90 degrees in that room. And that's what I needed just to stop shivering. The other funny thing, well, not funny maybe, but Happy the dog. Like, once we got my mom back in bed, I was like, I looked around and, where's Happy? And I went downstairs, and Happy had followed me into the room. And he had been around throughout a lot of stuff with my mom and medical equipment and hospital beds, you know, deflating. And he had just stuck by my mom's side. She would put her hand on him, and that would help her with pain management. And he was a real trooper. And but I looked around, and he was nowhere to be seen. I found him downstairs hiding and shivering. And I think it was because he was like, who are all these ghosts in this room? This is not cool with me. So anyway, I was really glad that, you know, the spirits woke me up, and Also, my mom at that time, you know, she would say, oh, your brother was here. You just missed him. And apparently my brother, who died in 2002, would drop by, and sometimes with friends. And then me or my, you know, brother who is still in his body or whatever, when one of us would walk in, I guess our late brother would just, like, meander on. And I find it incredibly reassuring. And I hope that someday that somebody shows me what I'm supposed to do after I die. And also one quick thing. These scientists, they studied it, and they were like, listen, we're scientists and we get a lot of grief for this, but, like, dead people visiting the dying is a thing. And, you know, no matter what all these other scientists say, it's a thing, and it's part of the human experience for 80% of the dying people. And also, one thing I loved is that they said that 30% of the dying saw their late pets. Oh, gosh, because ever since I was a little kid, I've grew up Catholic, and I've been like, but wait, do dogs get to go to heaven? Do cats get to go to heaven? You know, deer, bunnies, whatever. I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, but this new Pope I like very much. And according to him, yes, animals do get to go to heaven. So, I'm happy about that. And I love your show so much, and, love being an EPP, and, y'all keep at it, because it's a great service that you're doing for people. And, have a good one. Bye.
Do they get to go to hell, too?
Pets?
Yeah, like if they're a real bad one.
God, I hope so. I've had some pets that should be there.
Like the deer that ran directly into the side of your car.
Yeah, wasn't a pet, but no. He should be, yeah.
I'm just thinking just the sheer amount of, like, deer that must be there.
Yeah.
That just innocently died, you know? It's like, oh my God. What do you think of heaven? It's nice, but I didn't expect so many deer. It seems that there seems to be a lot of deer here.
No, I mean, I think animals that, you know, felt a connection to something,
mm-hmm.
probably, but
sure,
not the stupid deer that side, you know,
literally
T-boned me.
Yeah, it literally, yeah, you didn't hit it. It hit you.
Yeah,
by itself. That was quite a, remember that call? A deer hit me. You mean you hit a deer? No, it hit me.
You didn't believe me till you saw the car.
I believed it. It was just like, I don't think I've heard that sentence, that, because I just thought maybe you were kind of shook up in the way you were. You're expressing it, you know, kind of the words came out in the wrong order. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Nope. Sure enough.
No, and totally, I would have owned it up if sure. I had hit it.
But well, yeah.
It hit me. Burn in hell.
Very vengeful. Vengeful statement to the deer. And that was about what? How many years ago?
A lot.
Yeah.
That was my first white Sonata, and I'm now on my second white Sonata. So.
And it wasn't, we didn't have to get rid of it because of the deer, did we? Or was it?
No. No. After I had it fixed, it always whistled at high speed.
It did. Yeah. It never really was quite the same ever again.
That's why I said that.
Burn in hell. It's great. All right. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com to do just that. Get all the bonus episodes of our program and help us stay on the air. Do that at, like I said, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.